You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Monday, everybody, and happy NBA free agency. Today's the first year that NBA free agency starts not at midnight. So the NBA is trying to make this a little bit more like a trade deadline type party, I guess. So free agency opens this afternoon, Monday afternoon at 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. And on the West Coast, that's 3 p.m. where a lot of the action happens. There's a report the Timberwolves will be in California. I think this was a Darren Wolfson report that they'll be in the L.A. area, have a front office presence there, ready to meet with agents and players. And you know, everything seems to happen on the West Coast, mostly everything in terms of the in-person dealings for NBA free agency. And especially this year now with a lot of potential restrictions lifted and everything like that, they can see players in person. So that all happens this afternoon. I want to talk a little bit about a couple of options for the Wolves free agency and trade market, the players that, whose names have come up in the past couple of days in rumors linked to the Timberwolves, because there has been a bit of chatter this weekend. And now that the Wolves pulled off the trade that they did last week during the draft on Thursday, they do have a little bit more space to play with. Of course, once the Rubio trade becomes final, that is later this week. But the Wolves at least have a little bit more flexibility. Sign-in trades are always an option. So I want to hit all that, and that'll be, I guess, the bulk of the show today. I'll start with a couple of housekeeping type moves that the Wolves made, an additional undrafted addition, as well as qualifying offers to a couple of restricted free agents. So we'll talk about that here off the top, and then we'll get into some free agency and trade targets here in just a moment. First, a reminder, as always, you can follow this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes Apple as well as Google, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's Odyssey, spelled A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow this show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves, and also at B-Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so the Timberwolves had two players that they were able to extend qualifying offers to. That included two-way player Jordan McLaughlin, who's, after 2 years of being a two-way player, he's not eligible to be a two-way player again, but is a restricted free agent. And then Jared Vanderbilt. It's not a surprise at all that they extended the qualifying offers. My bet here is, and I think Friday we talked about this on the show, I think the Wolves are going to try and keep both of them, especially with the Rubio trade. It implies that they're more than comfortable retaining Jordan McLaughlin as their primary backup point guard. Of course, if they don't keep him, they'll just sign somebody else. But my guess is that they want to keep McLaughlin. They've invested a couple of years into him, and they feel like he's obviously he's a little smaller than you want him to be, but he brings to the table defensively what you want. He could shoot the ball a little bit, has shot the ball better than expected from the outside. Even though last year wasn't quite as impressive as his rookie year, he had COVID in the middle of the season, and his role shifted around a lot. And I think, got to camp, well, the abbreviated camp late last year because of his contract situation. So my guess is they'd like to have him back. I think Jared Vanderbilt is probably more the priority, even though there's more of a glut of at this. Ironically, the Wolves are looking to acquire a starting power forward, but they have, that's also the position where they have the most guys that can play the four. And Vando is pretty much exclusively a four. So it's a little bit weird that he's the guy that they really want to retain, but I truly believe that they'd like him back. We could go down the list of other guys that could play the four. I mean, obviously, Juancho Hernangómez, that's his primary position. Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid's played a lot of four. Jake Layman can play the four. There's a ton of guys that can. Oh, well, Torian Prince, the new acquisition from last week. So there's like six guys that are power forwards. Vanderbilt's probably the one that is most confined to a power forward role, right? I mean, Naz is primarily a center. Both Hernangómez and Jaden McDaniels played the three last year for Chris Finch. Jake Layman is probably a better fit as a three. Torian Prince is going to be played a lot of four last year, but early in his career was more of a three. So, I mean, he's going to be evenly split his minutes between the three and the four. So Vanderbilt's the one guy who basically is a power forward, and that is what he is. He's a little undersized to play center. He's not quite laterally quick enough and certainly doesn't have the offensive game to cleanly play the three. Yet, he adds that defensive edge, the rebounding edge that the Timberwolves have sorely lacked. and he's still got some upside. I mean, he's never going to develop. I don't think there's much of a chance of him developing anything resembling a true offensive game. His hands aren't very good, so he's not a great pick and roll threat. But if you could play him, you know, at the elbows, at the dunker spot, a little bit like how the Wolves used Josh Okogie offensively at times last year under Chris Finch, that, you know, you can hide him a little bit defensively. You're not going to play those two guys together. But if Vanderbilt is the power forward version of Josh Okogie in some sense, there's a role for him. He's probably not going to be a starter, but, you know, 20 or so minutes a game max might be the optimal role for Jared Vanderbilt. Now, is there another team out there that's going to believe that they could develop something of an offensive game from him? It also probably depends on if the Wolves are able to do anything else in free agency. We'll get to a couple of power forward names, one that would be a sign and trade option and one that would be a free agency addition here in just a little bit. But I'm very curious to find out if any other teams make Vanderbilt a priority as kind of an under the radar energy defense type guy with a little bit of upside still. Remember, he's only like 3 years into the league. He basically had only played a handful of games until last season, and he ended up starting like 30 games for the Wolves. So I think there's going to be some other teams that might get involved and be interested in him. Obviously not at high dollars, but I mentioned this on Friday. Kevin Pelton had given the Wolves a really solid grade for the trade last week, the Rubio Prince trade. And one of the reasons why is because he thought they were creating space to retain Jared Vanderbilt, which is really interesting. And Vanderbilt's got a lot of positive things about his game, and I've always really liked him. But that suggests to me that there's other teams that are going to be interested in him, and the Wolves may end up having to match something of an offer sheet potentially for Jared Vanderbilt. So it's not a surprise at all that the Wolves did submit the qualifying offer to both players. And I also I think it's more likely than not that they're both back. It all kind of depends on how the rest of free agency plays out. The Wolves could end up, you know, obviously if they need to keep some of that space, because as soon as they issue a qualifying offer, there's a cap hold, right? So they would need to withdraw their qualifying offer. That's what they did, for instance, with Tyus Jones a couple of years ago, is they initially extended the qualifying offer. They knew they weren't going to be able to retain him, so they withdrew the qualifying offer. And they've done that many times before, but that's the most recent significant example. Tyus ended up going to Memphis and has had a nice run for the last couple of years with the Grizzlies. But you know, what happens next for the Wolves here? I think they're going to wait and see, certainly on McLaughlin, probably on Vanderbilt as well, as they try and kind of hash out some of these other potential moves before making a final decision on those guys, or before their hand is forced to make a final decision. So that would be my expectation there. One other addition the Wolves made, and let's talk about them here about him in just a second. It's an Exhibit 10 deal, so basically a G League deal, but we'll get into that here in a minute. And then a potential sign and trade target and a potential free agency, unrestricted free agency target as well. So we're going to get into all that in just a moment. First, though, let's talk about our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar, not like you might think a protein bar would taste like. There's also many delicious flavors to choose from. Recently, I've been eating mint brownie. Cookies and cream are two of my favorites. Strawberry is really good. I hadn't had that one until recently. But if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can start with a mix box. You'll get two of each of the 9 primary flavors at Built Bar. Every single one is healthy and every single one is delicious. Check out the macros. 17 to 18 grams of protein per bar. Calories ranging from just 130 to 180 calories, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar, and just 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Every single flavor tastes amazing, and they're all healthy. Order today. For a limited time, they've still got Grasshopper Cookie available. I took advantage of that last week, and it's delicious. And also, we're still in the middle of the Olympics. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Talked on Friday about the Timberwolves signing McKinley Wright, the former University of Colorado player and Champlain Park High School graduate, native of Champlain, Minnesota. He was a 4-year player there. They signed him to a 2-way deal. He's a bit of an undersized point guard who's defensive-minded, has some offensive upside, some scoring touch. Take everything I talked about on Friday. If you missed that, go back and listen to it, please. But I would go a little bit more in depth as to what he could bring to the team. Could he be a McLaughlin-esque addition on a 2-way contract? How big of an impact could he have this year, et cetera? Take everything I said about McKinley Wright, take it to the extreme, and that's basically their latest Exhibit 10 contract signee, Isaiah Miller. First, what an Exhibit 10 contract is, it's basically a G League contract that includes a signing bonus if they stay with the G League team. So if the Wolves go through camp and almost certainly don't offer Isaiah Miller anything of, you know, guaranteed money or two-way contract or anything like that to stick around, then he would default to the Iowa Wolves of the G League. And other teams could come looking for him. He could get, asked to go play overseas, et cetera. And he could do that. But if he stays with the G League team for at least 60 days, he gets a signing bonus or an additional bonus, I should say, from the Wolves. So it could be anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000. So it's an added incentive to stay with an NBA team that sticks their neck out for you and says, hey, we want you in our program. Tyler Cook is an example of an Exhibit 10 guy last year. He went and played with the Iowa Wolves in the bubble and got signed away, played for both the Brooklyn Nets and then finished the year with the Detroit Pistons last year. There's been a few of these guys over the years, and I don't think any of them have been in an actual NBA game with the Wolves. Jordan Murphy's one example, former University of Minnesota big. Lindell Wigginton has been in an Exhibit 10 for a couple of years with the Timberwolves. So it's not a high probability Miller ends up in the NBA, but it's very, very likely he's a key player on their G League team next year. And if he plays well, he could always get that second two-way, although I doubt they would put 2 6-foot point guards on two-way deals, fill both those slots with 6-foot point guards. Or if there's an injury, you know, or something were to happen to McKinley Wright or something, I mean, there's a possibility he could get a chance. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on him, but basically he's the more extreme version of McKinley Wright. He's all defense, very little efficient offense. He did average 19 points a game last year. He played 4 years at UNC Greensboro, started for basically a little more than, you know, 2.5 years of his career. He came off the bench his whole freshman season. But he's the only player in UNC Greensboro history to go to 2 NCAA tournaments. He led them to the tournament last year, averaged 19.2 points a game, 6.8 rebounds per game at 6 feet tall, and 4 assists per game. Obviously, the competition isn't exactly fierce in the Southern Conference, but he is a three-time All-Southern player, defensive player of the year in his conference, three-time defensive player of the year. The shooting percentages are ugly, so I'll get those out of the way. For his career, he actually shot 47% from the floor, but just 24% from three, including just 20.8% last year as a senior from three-point range. And he's a career 57.7% free throw shooter. But his field goal percentage is really high because he made a living with a quick first step, getting into the paint, floaters, kind of push shots, turn around, he would post guys up. He's pretty strong for his size. I watched the highlights of his 30-point, 12-rebound game this year against Citadel. Every single one of his buckets was in the paint, or at least within 15 feet. There were a couple that were just, you know, basically off to the side of the paint, but within 15 feet. Every single one. Most were jumpers or like push shots, and there were a couple of floaters mixed in, but his form on his mid-range jumper is kind of a push shot anyway. It's not ideal. He doesn't quite get the ball to where you want. He doesn't get the elevation you'd want him to get on his jumper. But he scored 31 points against a clearly inferior opponent and defender. So I would have certainly some concerns on how he's going to score at the NBA level, because he's not going to be able to get that shot off very often. He might be able to get to the basket. He's super athletic. There's tons of dunk highlights out there if you want to find dunk highlights for Isaiah Miller. The most impressive thing for me, he has a career steal rate in college of 5.4%. That's insane. It's really unheard of. For some context, in the NBA last year, the highest steal rate of anybody that qualified was TJ McConnell, had a 3.4 steal rate, followed by Jimmy Butler at 3.1, DeLon Wright, 2.8%, LaMelo Ball, 2.7%, Ricky Rubio's was 2.6, he was sixth in the league. So nobody in the NBA had a better steal rate than 3.4%. And Isaiah Miller turned in a steal rate last year for his career of 5.4. His worst steal rate over 4 years was 4.7%. So he's a ball hawk. He's going to get steals. He's going to jump passing lanes. He's going to use his quick hands and anticipation on defense. He also had an assist rate of 31.1% last year. And for a point guard, he rebounds the ball. He had a defensive rebound rate last year of over 19%, which is crazy for a 6-foot point guard. So defense, rebounding, athleticism are all there. The offense is not going to be there, most likely. He didn't develop an outside jumper over 4 years in college. It's pretty unlikely that there's going to be a switch that flips. The form is a little messy. But if he can be a hard-nosed defender, rebound the ball, he's going to be a really good G League player. And there's some upside, you know, certainly because he could distribute the ball a little bit, has a quick first step. Maybe he could end up, you know, being kind of a two-way third point guard type guy moving forward. But an intriguing prospect simply because he's a lockdown defender with just a really unique skill set of being a fantastic rebounder and a ball hawk getting so many steals. So it'll be interesting to see what his role ends up being in Iowa and if he can find his way to the NBA this year or in the near future. Okay, the next two players I want to talk about. One is a restricted free agent target. That's Lauri Markkanen of the Chicago Bulls. We spent a lot of time talking about him last offseason and the offseason before as a potential trade target from Chicago. Now he is going to, it's at the point where he is on the trade market, and there's a report that basically he and the Bulls have discussed the idea of him being traded this offseason, and both sides are open to it. So I want to get into Markkanen as a potential trade target, and this would be a sign and trade. And then also the possibility of Jamichael Green, who we talked about last offseason as a target in free agency. He is not accepting his player option. He will opt out of Denver and become a free agent this offseason. So the Wolves could have a shot at him again. Would he be a fit? What kind of money is he looking for? How could the Wolves end up with Jamichael Green? So I want to talk about all that next as well. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's now more than half over. Football season, at least the training camp schedule's underway. You can track all the action, for now for baseball and soon for football at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. That includes, of course, the MLB, NBA, NHL, soon the NFL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's start by talking about Jamichael Green. So Jamichael Green was a free agent last offseason after playing a couple years with the Clippers. He was a draft pick of the Grizzlies several years ago. He's always been kind of one of those potential, he was kind of an analytics darling coming into the league as somebody who could shoot threes at an above average clip as a power forward and also rebound his position extremely well. He kind of had a semi-breakout year in his final year in Memphis, or his final full year in Memphis back in 17-18. He averaged 10 points, 8 rebounds a game, shot 34% from three. The following season, he saw his role diminish a little bit, was traded to the Clippers, spent a year and a half or so in their rotation, kind of 20 minutes a game, was a free agent last offseason, and was mentioned as a potential Wolves target. But, you know, same problem last offseason. The Wolves didn't have much in terms of cap space at all. And he ended up signing with Denver. He signed a 2-year deal that was worth, I think it was a little over $15 million. $15 million over 2 years. But there was a player option on the second season. So he opted out following last year, or just a few days ago, I should say. He averaged 8 points, 4.8 rebounds per game, shot just a hair under 40% from three. He's continued to improve his three-point stroke, has been 38.7% or better the last 3 years. For his career, he's 38%. From three, but he only played 19 minutes a game, which was his least amount minutes per game since the 15-16 season, which is what, his second year in the league? Yeah. So his role diminished last year in Denver, which is surely why he opted out. He still showed essentially the exact same skill set he's always shown, the ability to be a three-point defensive rebounding guy and a decent defender as a four, somewhat switchable, not an ultra switchable guy, but just a solid hard-nosed player who makes threes and rebounds the ball, which are both things that the Timberwolves need to add. And he's a good enough defender that you could play him next to Carl Anthony Towns and get away with a solid defense. And there's been talk since the season ended that Green could opt out and just return to Denver on a multi-year deal instead of just playing on an expiring contract. He wants to be in Denver. They're a good team. He could be a rotation guy. But the other side of it is his role diminished, and there's a chance he could find a bigger role and potentially more money elsewhere. So there's a report by Jake Fisher at Bleacher Report. He says forward Jamichael Green could very well return to Denver, yet New Orleans and Minnesota are rumored by league sources as potential landing spots. The Wolves, they don't have much to play with either, but with the trade last week of Ricky Rubio, they do have their full mid-level exception available. So they could offer something like up to 4 years, $40 million. To add him to the team. Now, a contract like that only pays him $10 million a year, right? And he was already going to get 7.1, 7.2 with Denver. So would that be worth it for him to come to a team that is, at the moment, on the outside looking into the playoff picture? Denver is going to be a playoff team again next year, barring something crazy. And his role in Minnesota would be greater. He very well could be the starting four if he was added. He almost certainly would be. But there's also other guys that could play the four. I've already, earlier in the show, I listed like six guys that would play the power forward in the, on this year's team. Jaden McDaniels, it seems like Chris Finch wants to play him more at the three, but he's another guy who in smaller lineups is going to be the primary option at the four. Could Green possibly lose, you know, will his playing time increase that much in Minnesota as it would in Denver? I think it's pretty likely he goes back to Denver, but the Wolves are certainly going to call on him and make their pitch as to, hey, we know, I doubt they'll promise him a certain number of minutes per game, but hey, we could give you 24, 25 minutes a game and pay you a little bit more than Denver if you come be part of our, you know, rising team that's going to be a playoff team next year. Basically, there's more opportunity in Minnesota for you to make more money, expand your role than there is right now in Denver. Now, New Orleans could have a similar pitch, right? I mean, they can argue that they're up and coming. They're going to be a playoff team next year, and that would be a similar sell as what the Wolves would attempt. But there's a possibility that Jamichael Green's a true option or a target this offseason for all those reasons, and it makes a lot of sense. I tend to think he's back in Denver, but I've always liked him, and he would be a fantastic fit for the Timberwolves. His game would really fit Karl-Anthony Towns well, and so they definitely should go after him hard, and it sounds like they're going to. The other name that's out there, of course, is Lauri Markkanen of the Chicago Bulls. This is a report by Michael Scotto. He's hardly the first one to report that the Wolves have interest, but this report is specific to Markkanen, and it mentions that actually the Wolves are one of very few teams mentioned in the article. It says that Markkanen and the Bulls are both open to a sign and trade deal. One team to keep an eye on is in the sign and trade market for Markkanen is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who've been searching for an upgrade at the power forward position. Multiple teams with cap space entering the offseason have him on their free agency radar, including San Antonio and Oklahoma City. So of course those teams will have a little bit of cap space. The Timberwolves don't. I don't know why. I mean, I guess I do know why they'd be interested in him. He's still got some upside, but I mean, the Thunder aren't going to be good next year unless they can get him on a really team-friendly type deal in restricted free agency. It would be a surprise for him to go to Oklahoma City. San Antonio, similar spot. I mean, you could argue, obviously they have Keldon Johnson. I mean, I guess the Thunder have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So each team has a guy they think they can build around. But it's pretty likely they're both not playoff teams. Like I would, at this moment, rank the Wolves ahead of both the Thunder and the Spurs in the Western Conference. So Markkanen may be more incentivized to join a team like the Wolves versus San Antonio or Oklahoma City. And remember, that's the whole thing with sign-in trades is instead of getting two parties to agree, you have to get three. So Chicago, as well as Minnesota and Markkanen. Now, Markkanen's role has shrunk a little bit in Chicago of late, and that's a part of the reason why it's pretty unlikely he's back with the Bulls. And he's been a part of several non-playoff teams, right? They've failed to make the playoffs with Lauri Markkanen on the roster. He has basically been as advertised, but over the 4 years of his career, he's kind of gotten worse each year in terms of his overall production. You could argue he's improved as a player. The three-point shot's gotten better. He's over 40% this year for the first time, but his role has shrunk, and therefore his points per game and his rebounds per game and all the things that a lot of times players would hang their hat on in the free agency market, those things have all gone downhill because his role has shrunk. He only started half of his games this year, 26 of 51 games started for Markkanen in just 26 minutes a game. But again, he was over 40% from three for the first time in his career. So the Wolves are, of course, going to have interest. He's not the defensive, certainly not a defensive stalwart, and he's not the rebounder that you'd really like to have at the four, but the offensive upside and the shooting ability is so great that it makes sense that the Wolves would be interested. Now, the question is it going to be worth the trouble in terms of the contract? What is he looking to make? Perhaps it does help that the per game numbers are down, but I mean, it was only a couple years ago. He averaged 19-9 as a starter for them, shot 36% from three. This was his second season in the league. And at the time I remember talking about the idea of trading for him and being concerned about what is he going to cost for a contract extension? Well, he's going to cost less now. Even though he shot over 40% last year, it's easy to say, hey, you haven't really improved, but he's only going into his age 24 season. So all that to say, if the cost is, you know, twice as much as Jamichael Green or anything close to twice as much, I'm taking Jamichael Green 10 times out of 10. If you can get Markkanen without giving up too many assets and the contract isn't insane, he is a seamless offensive fit next to Karl-Anthony Towns. There are some similarities to Danilo Gallinari, who is a rumored trade target that, by the way, the Wolves and Hawks could not come to an agreement on related to Rubio. And it sounds like it's a lot less likely the Wolves could get Gallinari at this point. That a lot of those discussions were centered on Rubio and his contract prior to the NBA draft, and now it's pretty unlikely to happen. So Markkanen could be a next tier option, and he adds the same, not quite the same amount of offense as Gallinari, but certainly a threat from the outside, certainly an offensive minded player. And the Wolves ideally would add somebody like Jermichael Green, who can do, I don't know, 70% of what Markkanen can do offensively, but is much better on the glass and defensively. I just think he's a better fit for the Wolves. He's also a free agent, so you're not giving up the contract extension plus an asset in a sign and trade like they would with Markkanen. So all that to say, I would be surprised if the Wolves ended up with Markkanen as well. I think Green's a more realistic option because I think that Green brings, again, a chunk of what Markkanen does offensively and fits extremely well with Towns, but also brings the defense and rebounding that it's exactly, those are the two things the Wolves need the most of. And those are the two things that Markkanen struggles with the most, are rebounding the ball with you know, any real level of consistency. And he's not an awful rebounder. He's okay, but he's not Jermichael Green. And also defense, which is not Lauri Markkanen's calling card. And Jermichael Green brings a little bit more on that end of the floor than Markkanen does. All that to say, I prefer Jermichael Green as a target, as a free agency target, than I do Lauri Markkanen as a trade slash restricted free agency sign and trade target. But both are names that are out there. Both are names that the Wolves are clearly interested in and will be interesting to keep an eye on as free agency kicks off this afternoon. So, of course, we'll have shows daily this weekend, next week, as we're into free agency. Summer League starts here very soon, later this week. So we'll talk all things Summer League, all things free agency as any rumors crop up. So plan on shows each day this week. We'll be back Tuesday with anything that happens. I wouldn't expect anything to get done for the Wolves right away when free agency kicks off late this afternoon, early evening. But it's always possible. If they do anything significant, we'll get up an emergency podcast sooner rather than later. Be sure, if you're not already following or subscribed to the show, that you do so anywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes Apple, Google, Spotify, and of course, the all new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. Of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. We'll be back Tuesday morning. Be sure you're following and you're subscribed. Stay tuned to the Twitter accounts as we monitor free agency. It kicks off later today. We'll see you Tuesday. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.